Well, good evening. Well, for this service of darkness, our goal is for us to linger at the cross. Our purpose is to see what Jesus went through, the agony, the suffering, the anguish, the separation. And this is important because as sinners, we are the ones that deserved what he experienced. I want us to see that the only reason that we can experience the grace of God is because Jesus was forsaken. And realizing this in the depths of our souls, that we would naturally respond with gratitude and worship unto our Almighty God. In this brief message, we're going to be looking at Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Yet I'll be focusing on just the words that Jesus spoke that I'm sure are very familiar to many of you. My God, why have you forsaken me? First, we're going to look at Jesus' own experience of being forsaken. Second, we're going to look at why he had to be forsaken. And then third, we're going to look at what our response to him should be. And these verses are actually printed in your bulletin. They're part of the third scripture reading, which is coming up shortly. And so you can follow along if you like, beginning in verse 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would be with us in a special way. We pray that you would send forth your Spirit to work through your word, that you would pierce our hearts, that we would see the incredible suffering and agony that our Savior went through on our behalf. And Father, would you lead us to respond in repentance and faith and worship, that you would be glorified. Open up our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that day on the cross, from the depths of his soul, Jesus reached out for the one whom he called my God. But God did not answer him. He was forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? These words were actually a fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 1. And this psalm begins with this cry of abandonment. In anguish, the psalmist asks, why? However, David, who was the one who wrote this psalm, he experienced only a shadow of what that true abandonment was like. For though he may have felt abandoned, God never actually forsook or abandoned David. On the other hand, when Jesus picked up these same words centuries later, he truly endured a total abandonment. Consider the depth of Jesus' distress. He suffered, first of all, the physical pain of flogging and the Roman crucifixion. Perhaps some of you have seen the graphic portrayal of the physical abuse that Jesus endured in Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. It was ugly. It is shocking. And very appropriately rated R. So some of you here probably are not able to see it yet. Yet the thing that amazes me is that the physical pain associated with the crucifixion was probably nothing compared to the intense pain of relational separation from his Father. realize this pain of separation was all the more agonizing and unbearable because from before the beginning of time, for all of eternity, Jesus had enjoyed the closest relationship with the Father. There had been perfect fellowship, perfect community from all eternity. And now, in some inscrutable way that I cannot even fully understand, this relationship was cut off as Jesus was forsaken. And then finally, not only was he enduring the relational separation, but he was also suffering God's wrath. He was bearing the full, the furious, the dreadful curse of God Almighty's judgment. He was drinking up the dregs of the cup of God's wrath. And our text told us that from the sixth to the ninth hour, that's from noon until 3 p.m., the sky went dark. During these hours, Jesus suffered indescribable agonies, intense anguish, and terrible isolation. While the wrath of God was being poured out upon him on that cross, he was being made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He was also becoming a curse for us. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. In those hours, he was being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. God the Father was laying on him the iniquities or the sins of you and of me. Jesus reached out in a cry of anguish, and there was no answer. He was forsaken, totally abandoned. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we try to get our brains around that, we just ultimately cannot relate. We cannot fully comprehend what it means to be totally forsaken. In this life, there may be times when we feel like God doesn't hear us or he doesn't answer our prayers, but he's still there. Even if we don't acknowledge it, nor if we don't even feel like it, we have never been forsaken. But Jesus was. And in fact, he had to be. If we are to receive forgiveness, Jesus had to fully undergo the punishment for our sins. You see, God is holy, and he loves holiness. He perfectly and righteously hates evil. Habakkuk 1:13 states, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. And so because God is holy, he also does not cheat justice. All sin and all evil must and will be dealt with righteously. And that can be a scary truth for those of us sitting in this room who, in our own right, have not lived perfectly holy and upright lives. We have all done wrong. And in fact, Jeremiah 17:9 states, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So according to God's infinitely righteous, holy, and just character, in our own standing, every single one of us is destined for hell. We are all destined to experience true forsakenness and wrath from God. God does not cheat justice. Yet, there is good news. God does not neglect mercy either. At the cross, God's mercy and God's justice come together perfectly. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross so that all of God's elect could be saved. Again and again, scriptures emphasize that Jesus willingly laid down his life for his people. No one took it from him. And because he loved the Father, and because he loved all whom the Father had chosen, Jesus willingly endured the hell of being forsaken so that in him we wouldn't have to. He took our place on that cross. And in Jesus, he experienced what we will never, ever have to experience. And that's why it can be said for those who live for Jesus, I am forgiven because he was forsaken. And so how should we respond to this? Well, if you are not a Christian and this news kindles hope in your heart, I ask you to respond by repenting of your sins, placing your faith in Jesus. For when you are united to Jesus in faith, his death has already paid for your sins. You are forgiven, and God will begin a new work in your life. So I ask you, call out to God in prayer. And if you are already a Christian, you are already cleansed and forgiven and renewed. So continue to repent and believe on Jesus. Respond in obedience, in gratitude, and in worship. And as we're gathered here tonight, let us even continue doing that. As we listen to this great and ancient hymn written by Bernard of Clairvaux back in the 11th century. But first, let's pray. Father, we can never fully comprehend what Jesus suffered so that we could be brought into relationship with you. Father, nevertheless, we are truly grateful. Our hearts overflow with gratitude, and we ask that you would help our hearts to overflow with gratitude. And that is something that only you can produce in our hearts. We pray that you would lead us to proclaim your name and to worship you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.